episode 208.
Late Night Internet Marketing.
This week on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast, we talk about the power of project management and what you can do to jumpstart your small business using the power of Asana. All this and more on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
The Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
You've been working for somebody else, but you want a business to run yourself. You want to know how to start and where to begin. Can you get out your comfort zone, my friend?
Broadcasting late at night from a little studio in the big state of Texas, your host, Mark Mason.
Hey, 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 how is everyone doing? I am your host, Mark Mason, coming to you live. Not really live. Time shifted from the little studio in Dallas, Texas. How are you doing? Happy New Year. I hope your January is going great. I can't believe we're already halfway through January. And as we talked last week, you should have three or four major big things that you're trying to do in first quarter to support your annual goals. We talked all about breaking that down last week. And you should know exactly what you're doing this week in support of that, those goals, some of which are not due until December, right? Because you've got this kind of breakdown and focus. You know what you need to be doing. There's no uncertainty. If you missed that episode, that's
episode 207.
At the end of that episode, I promised you that we would talk more about how to manage the day-to-day execution and overall attainment of these project management goals. And in support of that, I went out and found myself the leading Asana consultant in the San Diego area. How cool is that? It turns out that Brian Bennett and I are in a mastermind together as part of Pat Flynn's SPI Pro community. We actually chat every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. with a couple of other people that are in our group. And he's amazing. And not only is he amazing, he's an expert on the thing that we need to talk about, which is managing your projects, because this is a way that you can do a small thing to get a big result in the outcomes that you're getting in your business. So without further ado, I want to bring on Brian Bennett from Project Kickstart.
Hey, don't touch that dial. It's time for another fantastic guest on the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Okay, I'm really excited because of the topic we covered last Thursday, which was setting goals for the new year. I'm really excited to talk about how to actually get those done. So I have brought on the leading Asana project management expert in the San Diego area, Brian Bennett. How you doing, buddy?
Doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be here with you.
I'm really excited to talk to you about this topic because, as you and I have talked before, project management is a passion of mine. I use a lot of the tools, and you make your living helping companies, big and small, manage their projects. And you also manage your own projects, obviously, using software tools that are out there to help people get things done. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It actually was born out of my own experience trying to figure out the best and smoothest way to manage projects with the teams that I was working in during my career in school software, and seeing that there were a lot of really wonderful, well-organized people who were organized individually, but we couldn't seem to collaborate well as a team, is what got me interested in the world of project management. So yeah, it started from a need that was born in my own job and blossomed into something that I ended up studying, getting overly giddy about helping other companies to do.
Yeah. So let's talk about the overly giddy part for just a second. You're actually super passionate about the idea of getting projects accomplished the right way with project management. Can you talk about why that gets you so excited?
Yeah. Thanks for asking that. I love this question because when I first started working on this, what happened is I left my career in school software. And the reason I left is because, like I said, I was working with people that were doing such a great job on their individual work, but we were just struggling to find cohesion and flow as a team. And, in two of the different companies that I worked for, I took a few weeks to try and implement kind of a small version of project management. And some of the things that we saw change really got me excited. One of them was reducing the amount of time we had to spend talking about our work, or about the logistics rather of our work, and more time strategizing about the work. I just got excited about the resources that I would free up. And so when I left that career, I spent almost a year studying, just reading about project management, reading about task management, and the management of systems really is what I dove into. And for me, it was like going through this discovery process of trying to figure out which models could apply as you apply them in your own life or as you apply them in a work team. And I experimented helping a friend establish some systems in their company. And it was the thing that got me most excited, to come back to your question, was I personally feel like people have enormous potential and they have enormous ideas for things they can do. But the thing that keeps them back is just a lack of focus. And that's what project management helps solve. So that it got me excited about unlocking potential for people.
Okay. So this is perfect because listeners of this podcast have a tremendous amount of potential. And I'm very proud to say this, I tend to attract the brightest of podcast listeners in the solo entrepreneur space. But most entrepreneurs, as you probably know from your work with companies big and small, they've got a billion things going on, a billion ideas in their head, and getting organized and focused is their biggest challenge. When I talk to entrepreneurs, solo entrepreneurs that maybe have a VA or they're outsourcing a little work, when I talk to them about project management with a tool like Asana or ClickUp or one of these team tools, they look at me with like glassy eyes and kind of a deer in the headlights look. Are you familiar with this look?
All too well. And I had that look myself. It's because we all have a system, whether it's intentional or not, that we use to manage our tasks. But it's pretty uncommon for people to think of kind of creating a unified strategy across a team. And that glassy look comes because people just do what needs most to be done, what's screaming the loudest at them, but that's not always going to get them where they need to go.
So is that really what you tell people, even solo entrepreneurs? Is it really about the payoff, the leverage that you can get from taking your, as you say, you've got a system. Whether you want to admit it or not, you've got a system. And is the payoff that if you can use a better system, you get leverage over the problems you're trying to work? Can you talk about why people should consider using some kind of more sophisticated system?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the challenge is that anybody who's, you know, paying their monthly bills, or anybody who's keeping their house clean or getting things done in their lives, they have a system. And it's like you said, and like we mentioned earlier, it's either intentional or it's accidental. And it might just be by default that they started doing something and they got in the habit, and it wasn't an intentionally and deliberately planned system. So it might be, for example, let's say they've got a bunch of things to do on a Saturday and they put them all on a list and they do them in order. But or they do them as, you know, in the order that they feel, you know, whimsically, like, oh, this thing seems easiest to do next. But the problem with an approach like that is that anybody who's watched a video of, let's say, the manufacturing process in a factory, they can see all the decisions about the order things are done and which things can be done concurrently versus which things need to be done sequentially. That's all about resource savings. It's all about time management and eliminating bottlenecks and making the process to completion as fast and efficient as possible. So quick example, and then we'll, you know, talk about how this applies to entrepreneurship. You take that same list of chores that you do on a Saturday, and let's say, you know, in my own example, during almost a year that I was studying, I tried to experiment with processes in my own life. So I could take a process of 2 hours of Saturday chores and say, if I'm going to take my laundry down to the laundromat, and I also have to take my recycling to the place that's nearby, and I also have to pick up my mail and packages, if I sequence them right, then even though each thing individually might take 20 or 30 minutes, if I sequence them right, I can get the whole thing done in an hour and 15 instead of, you know, an hour and a half or an hour and 45 minutes, because I'm looking for things that can be done concurrently. So when that comes to entrepreneurship, you know, I personally believe that far more businesses unfortunately fail because of execution, not because the idea wasn't good. And execution is just something that takes a little bit of deliberate planning. And so that's why having a system in place that's intentional, that you've thought through and you've looked for opportunities for efficiency, that's why that's going to be the key to any entrepreneur who's overburdened and wearing too many hats. Just doing stuff all the time isn't going to get you where you need to go. You have to have a system that's going to help you weigh out what's most important, what's most urgent, what you can delegate. And when you have that system in place, you're going to be able to do the right things at the right times, not just do the right things in whatever order they fall into place.
Right. Okay. So let's deliver on this promise a little bit. So I think most people that are honest with themselves recognize that whatever their level of execution is, they can probably improve it. So let's say I'm one of these entrepreneurs out there who recognizes that my stuff is a hot mess and I just want to get started. And I know there are a lot of tools out there, but let's talk about Asana, since sure, that's your area of expertise. And I know if people want to play with Trello or ClickUp or whatever, they can do that. But let's talk in terms of Asana, because I think the best of many different tools lives in Asana. So let's talk about that one. How do they even get started? I mean, you look at that thing and it's a little bit intimidating, right?
Yeah, it is, because it has a lot of power. But at the most basic level, Asana is just a set of tools that organized in a hierarchy to give you access to what needs to be done, which are tasks, organized into a common end goal, which is a project, all aligned with what's called a goal, which is your vision. And once you understand the hierarchy of Asana, it's, you know, there's strategy that you're going to develop that's unique to your approach that you'll discover over time in terms of how you structure your projects. But at its core, even though the UI is new, it's pretty intuitive. And if you understand that basic structure of tasks, projects live in teams, and projects are aligned with goals, you really can set up a structure that makes sense across several different projects, across several different teams. And as a small business entrepreneur, you're going to be managing all those projects and managing each of those goals and delegating to a VA where necessary. But still, even so, having that structure is going to be crucial. So you're not just operating off an endless list that doesn't help you figure out what your priorities are. And Asana is going to help you create that custom layout that fits your flow. As far as, you know, what you said about getting started, Asana's got a great free tool called the Asana Academy. Now people are going to be confused because, yes, I do paid consulting, but I always say, hey, go ahead and learn the free stuff first, right? It's academy.asana.com. And every one of the tools that you mentioned, ClickUp, Trello, they all have great training videos, and there's a lot of great videos on YouTube. But I would just advise people to not get too caught up in the perfect structure. Find something that works and iterate over time. I set aside time every Saturday to iterate on my processes. And if people do that with or without a trainer, they're going to find a fit in a structure that works for them.
Okay. So let's make this real. Let's say I'm totally sold. I want to go look at a tool like Asana. I'm totally sold on this. Let's take a real example that's in my life that I have some experience with, and that's making this podcast. Now, I have ideas for podcasts. I have guests I need to manage. I record, I produce, I write show notes. I have a VA that helps me with the show notes. I have a different VA that does the transcripts. I have yet another VA that does the images for the show, like for the header and the blog post. And I have some promotional tasks that I do once the podcast is live. So that could be a bunch of post-it notes for a lot of people, right? And sometimes I could forget. And for example, maybe after the show, I want to send the guest, which in this case is you, a thank you note. How could I set up, use a tool like Asana, besides just making a checklist, which is kind of obvious? What does Asana give me more than my legal pad gives me for when I'm doing this and I'm doing a show every week and I'm working on multiple shows at once and they're in various stages? How can I bring a tool like Asana to bear on a very common problem, which is content creation?
Yeah. Awesome questions. So this will probably be the most important nugget that we'll mention on here. No matter what tool you're using, if you follow a framework that helps you build and optimize any process, it can be ClickUp, it can be Asana, whatever it is, you take the things that you do repeatedly in your company, and if you can follow a specific framework for how to optimize those processes, then you're going to build scalability. So the difference between Asana and a legal pad is with Asana, you learn from yourself each time. Every time you go through this iteration, you're going to learn from and improve on your process last time. And you're going to be able to launch everything you learned last time from a template with a single click of a button. So here's the nugget. The framework that I teach people is, anytime you want to optimize a process, and there's a really fun set of videos that back up this framework. So I'll be sharing some of these maybe some other time. But the process is, anything you do repeatedly in your company, first you want to standardize it. That's step one. And the importance of standardization, David Allen is one of the thought leaders on, he has the term called getting things done. And he wrote a book by that same name. And he talks about the importance of avoiding decision fatigue. And when we standardize a process, even if it's not the most efficient way, if we just standardize the way we do it so we don't have to think through it every time, we're avoiding decision fatigue, meaning I don't have to rethink the process every time I go through it. So that's step one, standardize. Step two, to make sure that let's say your podcast flow, your podcast workflow, for example, after you've standardized what you do, then you want to optimize. And so you take this process, whether it's efficient or not, it's the same every time, it's standardized. What optimization is you look for opportunities to reduce steps. So you're reducing waste. So an example of that is, you know, you go to the doctor's office and anybody can tell you, you're going to fill out your name and address when you're a first patient four or five times on different forms. That process is not optimized. So in your company, let's say when you're preparing your podcast, if you have a template structure for how you kind of coach, interviewees, or if you have a template email, you talked about that email that you send out, that's optimization. You take something that's standardized, you're always going to send out a thank you email out at the end. If you then turn that into a template, that's optimization. So you're looking for opportunities to reduce waste.
Right.
That's step two. And then the final step, step three, that this is really where the power of automation comes in. You're going to automate your process. So you take anything that has already been standardized and that you know that the process works, you've already made it efficient by optimizing it. You find steps that they're so consistent every time that you can actually either set it up natively or get a third-party add-on to automate whatever those processes are. And that's going to allow you to scale. So to your audience who's, you know, small business owners and solopreneurs, people working with VAs, there's a lot of parts of your business that don't need your human touch. There are parts that do, and you want to make sure and save your time for those parts that do. You know, Mark, if you send me an automated email, I'm going to be proud of you, but I'm going to probably be able to tell that it's automated.
Right.
It's
automated. Totally understand. Yes.
But that you're going to save time in the rest of your process if you automate other steps so that you can then focus your time on that human touch, on that email at the end. So once again, it's standardized, optimize and automate. And no matter what tool you're using, if you apply that framework to anything that you do repeatedly in your business and slowly you build this like repo, this repository of repeated processes in your company, you're going to be able to scale. And that's going to allow you as a solopreneur to do 180% of what you could do without structure.
Awesome. And you know, that's what I do for my podcast. So I have different structures in, I use a tool that's very similar to Asana called ClickUp, as you know, and I have standard operating procedures for collecting show ideas and flushing those out into show notes and documenting that. And then I have standard checklists that I go through whenever I do production. And some of those items in that checklist, as you say, don't need my human touch. A great example is transcription. I don't touch the transcript. I have Loretta. She's listening to this right now because she's transcribing it. She automatically gets an email whenever the file is uploaded to start transcribing the episode. I don't even talk to her, right? She takes care of that. And I know it's done because when she's done with the task in ClickUp, she uploads the file. And then that allows the next person in the workflow who's writing the show notes to leverage the transcript and so on and so forth. So that efficiency is real because, you know, I would never be able to do this all by myself. It's just not doable for me anymore.
Right. And how long would it take you if you, number one, didn't have a standard process, and number two, you hadn't optimized the process to where you're delegating things that are, you know, that are best done outsourced, right? You've gone through your process and you've built a method for being able to produce podcasts at a speed that you couldn't do individually.
That's
so
right.
That's an awesome process, Mark. That's a perfect example.
Yeah. Okay. So as cool as this sounds, and I know that the best thing for people to do is to try and go play with this and start with a process or a project in Asana and start building it. You say, don't worry about getting things perfect, leverage the videos, but some people are going to need some help. So for people that need help, how do they find Brian and how can they reach out to you and learn more about what's going on at your company, which is Project Kickstart, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I have a few things that I do. And I provide some resources that are going to help people no matter what level they're at. So I have a weekly newsletter called Kickstart Weekly. You can find that at kickstartweekly.com. And that gives, it's meant to be a 1 minute executive digest of project management, what you need to know about project management for the week. And so I go through the first section is specifically focused on Asana, but everything else in there can be relevant for anybody using any project management tool. But you're going to get a weekly email with four different micro topics that are going to take you through things that you can do to optimize your usage of whatever tool that you're focusing on. So that's a free resource. And then I'm just moving Project Kickstart actually over to the kickstart.com. So that'll be the new URL. The
awesome. Kickstart.com.
And the point of it is to give people a host of resources, whether it's the weekly newsletter or there's going to be a series of guides that are coming out that'll be free on there as well. And then if anybody really needs help and wants to kind of get involved more hands-on, I have two programs. I do direct consulting. You can book a free consultation on that website, or I do a group Kickstart. And that's a new product that I have out for startups who can't afford to do a full hands-on implementation. So you get all the same training, all the same content, all my templates, the whole guide, all the frameworks and everything, but you're onboarded with a series of other companies so that you guys all share the cost of an onboarding. So anyway, that's the paid opportunity, but there's a lot of free resources as well. And the kind of the key place to go for that is the kickstart.com.
Okay. I got one more question for you. And that is, in all your years of working with Asana and project management and just, you know, helping people do a better job of executing, what's sort of the short version of the most exciting thing that you saw that, you know, there was a train wreck and you put project management on top of it and something magical happened, or you had a situation where, you know, you just really saw the power of this. Do you have something like that that just really makes you smile when you think about project management?
Yeah, I have kind of a general thing that happens with most clients, but then I have a specific time when it happened and it just made me. I always record my Zoom meetings so I can review them to learn things from them. And, you know, obviously always with people's permission, but I love capturing those moments when people realize the change again in scalability of their processes. So what happens is most of the time when I work with people, people have some type of idea in their head of what their standardized process is, but it's really rare that people have actually mapped it out. And if they have, it's in a spreadsheet and maybe it's not collaborative with their team. But pretty commonly when we map out a process together in Asana and we make it a template and people, you know, can duplicate from a single button, there's this moment when suddenly they realize, you know, they're going to be able to do something so much faster. And there's this specific example of one of my clients who had a project given to him by his CEO. And the CEO, because they hadn't really fully implemented Asana yet, the CEO didn't know what was already on his plate. So he called me in a bit of a panic. I think it was like a Thursday night, and said that somehow he was supposed to produce this this new product for their company in 3 weeks. And it's something that usually takes 4 to 5 months. And so we worked through a new product launch template that night. We built it together. And it was one of the greatest moments. When we finished, he did a happy dance. He on Zoom, he just threw his hands in the air and just started doing this like he just scored a touchdown. And he said, I'm going to be able to do this in 3 weeks. And I would not have been able to do it otherwise. So I think those types of things where you take something that historically he had done several product launches and they took a lot longer, but because it was all laid out, because we found things that could be done concurrently and things that had to be done sequentially, we mapped out a timeline where it could happen in 3 weeks. And anyway, those things happen to just about everybody when they realize that deliberate thought about a process totally changes what they can accomplish individually and with their teams. And that's what makes it all worth it. So I absolutely treasure those moments. And I keep a list of little video clips of people doing happy dances. And it happens more often than you'd realize. And I think your people are going to have it happen too. It's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And that is truly what makes you awesome. Brian Bennett, I really appreciate your time. Tell us one more time where we can find you.
Easiest thing is just to go to the kickstart.com. So from there, you'll be able to find free resources, book time to get help. The kickstart.com is the place to go.
Very good, sir. And happy new year.
Thanks a lot. You as well. Appreciate it.
Okay. I hope you enjoyed that. I told you it's awesome. If you're not using project management tools, again, Asana, ClickUp, Trello, highly recommend that you take episode 206, take the advice that you just got from Brian. Start small, maybe with just one of your goals, and go try it out. See if you can plan out your entire 12 weeks this quarter, or even better yet, your entire goal across the year. Set yourself some due dates, track your progress in one of these tools. Let it help you be accountable for the things that you want to do. Let it help you define procedures for things that you do over and over again in your business. Let it help you delegate tasks by inviting virtual assistants and other tradespeople that you might be using for transcription or other things in your business, and coordinate it using these tools. And that'll be a big lift for you. Until next week, ciao. You can do it
right when it's late at night. You've been listening to the Late Night Internet Marketing Podcast.
Be sure to visit LNIMpodcast.com today to leave feedback for Mark. Download special bonus content, access the show notes, and more. See you there.
Until then, go and make some great progress on your internet business, one night at a time. One night at a time.
I'm going to tell you something that's awesome about that we have in common that you didn't know that will also make you smile.
Okay.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Brace yourself.
I'm so ready.
We are both choir geeks. How about that?
Oh, no way.
Yeah,
really?
Totally. Totally. So I've been singing since I was in seventh grade, and I've done everything from madrigal singing to pop groups to full choirs, competition singing. And then I was off for a long time. And then I started back in church choirs, and I did that for a long time. And at the moment that scheduling is not working out for me, but I have full intention to get back into it. And then I do a little singing with my guitar. So we are both choir geeks.
That is so great.
I know about things like, I usually sing baritone, but if I squeeze my toes together, I can be forced to sing tenor, because what happens particularly in church choirs is a lot of times there aren't enough tenors. So, right. So I will be recruited because I can get up there and hit, I can at least maintain pitch. There's no, the tone color's not good when I sing. I'm more of a baritone, and I don't really sing bass either. I kind of have this, useless middle ground voice that's never really quite as big as I need it to be.
I would contend with that, though. I mean, I disagree with that. So as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, you're so involved in so many different places and in the community, the little entrepreneur group that you and I are both part of. I'll just remind you that every single person on the call said you have this like combo of like a radio announcer's voice and this calm storyteller's voice. It's this perfect resonance. So I disagree. I absolutely love it. And I would pay to hear you sing.
Okay. Well, that maybe that'll happen someday, but not today.
Late night internet marketing.
Hey, it's Mark again. I wanted to tell you one more time about this absolutely free resource that I have for helping people who are trying to get the big picture for internet marketing, actually get started and understand what all their choices are. If that's not you, there's no more content. You can skip to the end. But if you're someone who came to this podcast because you're searching for how to get started online and you just can't cut through all the noise, I get it. That was me. In 2007, when I was trying to get started, there were so many people throwing offers at me that I really couldn't even understand what all the different business models were. I couldn't understand how money moved around on the internet, and I couldn't really get a grip on what direction I wanted to go in so I could figure out how to move forward. I've created a free video resource for you just for that purpose at latenightim.com/explain. In several short videos, I just explain to you what internet marketing is all about and what online business is all about and the different options that you have for starting an online business. There's nothing to buy there. You just sign up for access and you get the videos just like that. So if that's interesting to you, or if you know someone who's in a same situation, send them that link, latenightim.com/explain. And let me know what you think. I'd love to hear what people are thinking that are in the exact same position that I was in more than a decade ago in 2007. In some ways, it seems like yesterday. And in some ways, it seems like an entire lifetime ago. Again, that's latenightim.com/explain.
Late night internet marketing.